T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Today feels kind of normal on Grant and Danny, I'll be honest with you. Haven't done a lot on the coronavirus or any of the skits and bits that we normally enjoy. And the reason for that is that the Redskins are acting like it's 1999 all over again. They have run the offseason for the last 24 hours. Moving and shaking. Now, look, let's not go crazy. They haven't brought in anybody who's going to make a Pro Bowl, and they haven't brought in anybody who's probably going to play. But they have been in the news constantly since we got off the air yesterday at 2, among the moves, trading Quentin Dunbar for a 5. We'll get into that. We haven't really yet. Releasing Monte Nicholson, we haven't even touched that. But, look, I'll never celebrate a guy getting cut, and I certainly am not going to do that now. I feel bad for him. You know, you got a family, and you got money, and you got to put food on the table for yourself and loved ones, and that stinks. But this is a long time coming. I mean, he got arrested in 2018, didn't finish the year on the field after being benched earlier in the year. 2019, a woman is found unresponsive in his bathroom, Danny, who he takes to the hospital, his ex-girlfriend or girlfriend, whatever it was at the time. And this woman, Julia Crabb, tragically dies of an overdose, presumably at his house. Allegedly, he and his friend took her to the hospital. And he was questioned by authorities, obviously never charged, should be noted. But he was playing football a couple days after that, like nothing happened. You got people picketing at Redskins Park, the family members of Julia Crabb, and at FedEx Field, basically asking the team not to allow him to keep playing while this investigation was ongoing. And all of that, you know, not to make little less of the situation, because it is really sad. But, like, this ain't Ray Lewis, you know what I mean? This isn't, like, some all-pro. Monte Nicholson's a guy. I mean, I could find you Monte Nicholson if you give me 6 minutes and 2 rosters to comb over. You know what I mean? Sure. He's just a dude.
Well, he had a nice few games stretch early on in his career that time. And that was an impression that Redskins fans had and say, well, that's that guy. Let's try to unlock that potential. So did Greg Horton. So did a million other dudes.
Chris Horton.
Who did I say? Who's Greg?
Greg Horton might be is that Tim Horton's brother who does donuts?
I'm sure. Delicious bagels, if you ask him toasted. They're very friendly there, Timmy Hortons. Anyway, the point of the dude's story is not good. Sick of hearing about him. I'm not like you. I don't have the same ethical standard. I will celebrate when guys get cut. So, you know, I know it's hard, but don't play in the NFL if you don't want things that are hard. I will celebrate when Josh Norman, when they finally move on from him. I will celebrate this. This is the right thing. Move on from that guy. I'm sure he'll get a job somewhere. And if he doesn't, he brought it on himself. So this, to me, was the right thing. And as you said, I think it was a long time coming.
Guy, you did it again, by the way. I just Googled it. Greg Horton.
Who's that?
Actually played in the NFL.
There you go.
He played for the L.A. Rams from 1976 to 1978.
Well, I didn't know that.
Are you sure?
There's no way I knew that. He played for 1 year for the Rams before I was born.
He played with the Bucks for 2 years in the 70s, and then he finished with the Rams again in 1980.
Who the hell is Greg Horton?
The late Greg Horton went to Colorado, 63 NFL games.
He's a medical doctor at University of Kansas, apparently, Greg Horton is.
I feel like Pete would have a full file on Greg Horton. He'd be like, Danny, you nincompoop, I can't believe you didn't know.
Like, I did not remember him. Made a big tackle in the Peach Bowl. Like, okay, buddy.
I still want to do the segment, Ask Pete Anything. That would be a good way to start if we get
an
Pete
APA
on and ask him for a breakdown on Greg Horton. 800-636-1067. Let's get back to Kyle Allen, though. Knows the offense, not going to threaten Dwayne Haskins, might be able to answer some of his questions. And if he plays, this is not Josh Johnson. This is not Mark Sanchez. You know, might not be anywhere close to, you know, an elite backup either. But he is a guy who played decently last year at times. Let's go to Dustin in Fredericksburg on line three. Dustin, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you guys? Hold up in this quarantine.
Good, buddy.
Doing all right, man.
Good. So I just kind of wanted to say I think it was a good pickup. I was listening to both of y'all kind of, you know, both sides of your argument. And I was kind of on the one side where giving up a pick I think was kind of not a smart move. But if you think about it, you guys were going to probably need to draft somebody anyway for quarterback. So at this point, I mean, you're giving up a fifth rounder, which you're probably going to draft someone anyway. You get him for cheap, and he already knows the system, and you know a little bit about what he can do in the NFL against NFL talent. So that was just my comment. I want to thank you guys. Hope you guys stay safe.
Appreciate you
as well. Let's go to line two. Ren is in D.C. Ren, Kyle Allen is the backup to Dwayne Haskins now. What do you got?
First, thanks for having me on the show. I think it was a great, great pickup. And I think there's more competition for Dwayne than what people really think. We watched this guy play against the Saints last year. I think he got stopped on the goal line, like right at the end of the game. It was a crazy game, but he played well. He had a couple of good games before flailing out. You know, you could bring in a 30-year-old, and, you know, even though Dwayne is young, he's like 30-year-old, really not going to, you know, even though he knows how to play, he's not going to take my spot. You have this young, fiery guy, Kyle Allen. He started more games than Dwayne started last year.
Kind of
on the same age. I think it's the perfect competition for him. That's just my
Appreciate you. Danny, I want to know if you agree with me on this, and I'm guessing you will, but we're a little bit different on our eval, I guess, of Allen. I don't love him. I just don't think he's awful, which it sounds like you do. But I'll say this. I think if he can compete with or pushes Haskins for playing time at some point this year, A, that's a real problem, and B, that says a lot more about Haskins than Allen.
100%. And this is kind of where I go just to expound on that. Like, if we need all of these things, right, if we need multiple babysitters when you already have a $21.5 million babysitter in Alex Smith, that's what he is. He's rehabbing but also in the quarterback room, a quarterback coach, an offensive coordinator, quality control assistants. If we need to start adding multiple players just to make sure that it's the right level of competition but not too much competition, it's the right kind of competition where I don't really feel threatened but I'm also pushed a little bit like I'm doing the Vince Vaughn speech from Wedding Crashers, this is already problematic. If we need this many things to make it 72 and sunny, the temperature control, we've got a climate issue, right? I need Dwayne Haskins not to need somebody that knew the offense that time to be in the room with him if he's going to learn the playbook. You got plenty of people to teach the kid the playbook. You've got professional coaches and other veterans could come in and help with that. You find, make your flashcards, figure out ways to learn. I get that he can be a resource, talking about Kyle Allen, but I need to not give up draft picks for that. I need Dwayne Haskins to sink or swim here, and we could figure out the way to do that. Support him, obviously, but support him by having a left tackle on the roster. Support him by getting him a couple playmakers, like a tight end or something. This, to me, was just a waste of a pick. We're comfortable with this guy, Kyle Allen, and he knows the system, which means if glass breaks, he can play. That's what frustrates me about him.
In fairness to Haskins, though, these are normal things. It's not like they're reinventing the wheel on how to make a quarterback comfortable and overdoing it. You know, in New York, as an example, where Daniel Jones is, they said, we need to go get a veteran who can help him prepare and learn and answer questions. So they go get Colt McCoy after Eli Manning leaves.
I mean, yep.
These are normal things that every team does. It's not like they're going out of their way to try to act as if Dwayne Haskins has no clue. Let's go to Tony in Long Island on line four. Tony, you're on G&D. What's up, pal?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Great.
Danny, I'm actually really surprised you're really down on Kyle Allen in this manner. Just to throw some stuff out to you. And I'm not saying we don't know where Kyle Allen will end up, but going into his age 27 season, Kirk Cousins had 18 touchdowns and 19 picks.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing on Kirk Cousins' resume over the first 3 years that got you excited. And look what he turned into. And by no means am I saying Kyle Allen is going to be Kirk Cousins, but to blanket the guy as like some sort of a scrub, I mean, he's prorated to be a 4,000-yard passer over his career as a 6-7 starter. I think the guy has abilities. He played at age 22 and 23. I personally, guys, I really think this is a dead heat. And I want Haskins to win the job. Haskins needs to be our starter for this team to take the next step. But this guy is going to push Haskins. I mean, Haskins only has six good quarters, four of which is against the New York Giants. And my son's 11-year-old flag team can move the ball on the Giants. So I'm telling you right now, I think Allen is going to push Haskins in all the right ways. And I think it's a good move. It's worth a shot. That's my take.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
No, it doesn't hurt, I wouldn't think, in terms of pushing Haskins, because I could say he's not that threatening. You're not going to look over your shoulder. But it is the equivalent, to use the analogy I've used a few times, kind of carry it into this example now, of we do this radio show, and we have a new program director, and he's bringing in someone who's not supposed to take our job but is going to help us, who this guy worked with in his last radio station. And he's just going to sit there next to us all the time and help us.
And just
and
stare.
By the way,
yeah.
At times this guy did like got some really good ratings in the past, and at times, not always, people don't think that highly of him as a host, but at times they've been successful. And, oh, by the way, he's just going to be there all the time, reporting back to the people from the last radio station who are now our bosses. 800-636-1067. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, here's where another thing I kind of can't grasp. The idea of going to get a veteran is very reasonable to me. We're acting like this is a veteran. It's not. This is 13 starts. You know, just sort of, he doesn't have much more experience than Haskins does. So if you want a veteran to help the guy, go down that road. That's why just this move is so quirky to me. This is a guy that will be 25 this year with 13 career starts, but you know, in the last basically, four of which were disastrous. I just don't see it the same way other people do. And I guess maybe I'm the crazy one. I'm wondering what I'm missing.
I'm not sure that you're missing anything. I guess where I'm surprised and agree with the call from Tony there is, I don't know how you could look at his body of work from last year at 24, having been an undrafted free agent and being thrown into the fire on a really bad team, and had some of the games he had against some good teams, and overall more touchdowns than picks and the yards and the performances, and not have been a little bit impressed. To look at that and say he's terrible, I don't know how you could do that. Honestly.
It's for me, I can't unsee that Atlanta game where he was throwing picks left and right that he
go
got benched against
Seattle.
Go back and
watch Cousins early on. Go back and watch Peyton Manning. Single guy sucks 9 times in their rookie year.
But you saw improvement. You saw you didn't see a guy that got benched in week 15
for
Will
Greer. They didn't bench him because he was bad. They benched him because they wanted to see what Greer was, because they just drafted him in the fourth round.
I think that's exactly why they benched him. He came off a 3-pick game and cost him a win against Seattle. I thought that's exactly what happened, was they wanted to see what Greer was, but if Allen played well, that wouldn't have happened.
I'm not so sure. It was a lost season, and you had a draft pick you literally had just selected. And basically the pick 100, it wasn't like they took him, 255 picks in. You wanted to kick the tires. The year before that, by the way, Kyle Allen was the backup. They played Taylor Heinicke, if you remember, when Cam Newton got hurt.
Yeah.
Week 17, Kyle Allen got the start. They did the exact same thing 1 year earlier, and Allen was the beneficiary. I think that's kind of how they do things going into the offseason. 800-636-1067 is the number on Danny, getting some calls on Kyle Allen. We have not yet talked about Quentin Dunbar for a 5th-round pick. Danny's salty about the Allen trade. I'm not. I'm actually salty about Dunbar, so I want to see if we are together or apart again on this one next on G&D on the Fan. Danny's on Twitter at FunnyDanny. I'm at Grant H. Paulson. Thanks for listening. A lot of Redskins news to make our way through. You can react to any of it at 800-636-1067. We've been talking about the trade for Kyle Allen to back up Dwayne Haskins. Let's move to the Quentin Dunbar acquisition now, and you can call in on either of those two things if you'd like. Again, 800-636-1067, 1245 today, the Grant and Danny Movie Club, 1 o'clock today. Dave Jagler, voice of Nationals baseball on 1067 The Fan, continuing our series of announcers announcing themselves doing things from home during this coronavirus hiatus, where everyone is social distancing and sitting in their house. So, Danny, yesterday on the show, I had mentioned when we were talking about Quentin Dunbar, I had literally just talked to somebody with the team who told me less than 48 hours before the trade, we think of him as our number one cornerback. We're not going to trade him for nothing. They basically did that.
Yep.
Didn't they? They basically traded him for nothing.
Give me a team on the phone. I don't care which one. What do you give me sold?
Right. Exactly. Right.
Cool deal, bud.
I mean, what are you giving me? How about a 5? Hang on 1 second. They're only giving us a 5. Take it. Okay, we'll take it. Like, is that the negotiation? Is that how that went?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable to me.
So I called that same person back up, and I'm like, listen, I thought this wasn't the thing. I don't know what happened, but here is what I've gathered based on a bunch of people I've asked that question to over the last 24 hours. It sounds to me like this was a new sheriff in town is annoyed by what's going on with this guy kind of thing. Ron Rivera's over it, doesn't like how Dunbar's handling this, Dunbar, from what I was told, talked to Rivera on the phone at one point, but otherwise has kind of refused to meet with the Redskins and try to build a bridge here. He's mad at this team for past transgressions and mostly things with the last regime, but yet is holding against the new one. And so I think Ron Rivera just kind of said, I'm not doing this. Like, this is not Trent Williams. This is Quentin Dunbar, and I'm not going to play this game. So they trade him for a fifth-round pick. And that's kind of the problem that I have is you already weren't great at cornerback. Now it is a foremost priority. Now it's probably, you tell me if you think I'm wrong here, I think it's as big a need as tight end. I think it's as big a need as left tackle. You're talking about Kendall Fuller, who supposedly they want to play in the slot and at free safety, not on the outside. Okay, so let's put him in the nickel then.
All right.
Against three receiver sets. What percent of the time, Danny Sharp, do you think teams are lining up in three receiver sets at this point?
65.
Okay. So now 65% of the time, Fuller is out there in the slot, and you got two corners on the outside who are who? Probably Fabian Moreau and Jimmy Moreland?
That's what
is
it looks
Greg
like.
Stroman coming back, walking through that door? Is that Greg Stroman's music? Is that Danny Johnson's music, who I've heard way too much about over the last couple of years because he made a play in the preseason
that time? Yeah, is it Aaron Colvin? I mean,
I think he's gone, by the way. It could be. But they could re-sign him, I guess.
Sure.
But, dude, I mean,
but
their cornerback position is a disaster.
Yes, it is. It's to me, it's the number one need on the roster now. And I mean that because I think you could find a Donald Penn, a Jag, or whatever. I don't think you could find many cornerbacks that can deal with this passing league where your average quarterback in a given week completes 64% of his passes and is a 4,000-yard passer and will torch your butt. I mean, last year they were inadequate there because Josh Norman can't play. Now, goodness gracious, is this a glaring need for this team. So that's what's so galling about this. I have no problem trading Dunbar, by the way. And he can kiss 100% of my ass, by the way, with his act. Thank goodness he's out the door. I'm sorry you were so wronged, buddy. Appreciate you helping us out. His agitation probably cost the Redskins a round in terms of getting value for him. If he'd been able to just, you know, I don't know, be a decent person about this thing, I think we would have gotten a little bit more talking about
would
the Redskins.
Would you have traded him for a five yesterday or no?
I would have worked the phones a little bit longer than 3.5 minutes to try to see if I could get maybe somebody's four, but it sounds like maybe that's where the market was because, again, you're talking about a guy that's missed 40% of the games over the last couple of years and has acted like a jerk during this process. So that lowers the value. And
so, but I guess what I'm saying is you were on Ron Rivera's team, though, a little bit of let's just trade him for whatever it costs.
I wanted him out of here. But, man, oh, man, is it frustrating to not get very much for it, you know?
So 1 to 10 me on that trade. 10, you love it. 1, you despise it.
3. I like that he's gone. So, right. I mean, again, I'm thrilled that he's not here anymore. But he'll go somewhere and play well. Like, in a good culture like Seattle, where you get along or you get out of there, and their system and scheme for big cornerbacks with long arms, he'll thrive. And he'll be the one that got away. Screw that. He wasn't going to do it here because he decided that he was going to pout and want to be treated like a star when there's a lot more water under the bridge than all that. But the fact they only got a five is really, really frustrating. And a lot of my frustration is with Quentin Dunbar, but the other is with the Redskins for not being able to say, dude, just keep your mouth shut. We'll get this done for you. Just you know, pipe down. But the fact that they only got a five is man, it stinks, I'll tell you that.
Supposedly he was promised or told by the last staff, go out this year and play, and we'll take care of you after the season. And so he felt like it was time to be taken care of, and now you have new bosses. I mean, if your boss tells you, I'm going to take care of you next year, I promise, and then they're gone and the new boss is there, is it their obligation to follow through on the previous boss's promise? I don't think that's the way it works in the real world. I wonder, do you think they're putting all their eggs in the D-line basket, basically, where they say, because you get a lot of this from the Twitter, you know, tough guys and all of the Twitter experts, you know, have you seen this team's defensive line? We got all pro John Allen, Hall of Famer Deron Payne, pro bowler Matt Ioannidis. We got Montez Sweat going to get 22 sacks and Ryan Kerrigan's a Ring of Famer. We don't need cornerbacks. Hail to the Redskins. I mean, do you think there's a little bit of that with the team where they go, Jimmy Moreland, we'll figure it out. We got a pass rush. A great pass rush. Best friend of the cornerback. Woo! Do you think it's some of that?
I do think a couple things happen. Number one, I heard Fiona again. So now that's the third Fiona appearance on
is
the radio.
Is that three
program.
Fionas?
That is three straight Fionas.
Damn.
But number two, I think there's some degree of that. I'm fine with emphasis, or I'm fine with saying, hey, the strength of our team is one place. It doesn't mean you can be completely inadequate in another spot, though. It doesn't mean you can be well below league average and really at the bottom of the NFL in a category, right? I understand it's not all done in a moment. There's some free agent cornerbacks that can maybe come in and start for you. That doesn't mean that you're good in that given spot, right? It puts, again, a lot of pressure on the draft. It puts a lot of pressure on figuring out a way to acquire somebody that can be a true number one, not just for you, but an actual true number one cornerback, because they don't have that. They got a guy that could be their best. That doesn't mean he would start or be the number one for 31 other teams in the league. This is a huge need, and I get how we got here. I do. I get it. The one guy you paid big money to stunk. He's gone. The other guy that may have gotten himself some big money from you, had he earned it with this new regime, decided to be a jerk and whine because he didn't get the phone call day one. So I get how we're here for a rebuilding team, but man, is this the spot where there's a leak in the foundation? You've got to shore that up ASAP.
I just wish that they could have been either more patient or practical or waited him out, because he had no leverage. And I know that he was unhappy, and I know that he was annoying. And unlike Trent Williams, he's tweeting something else every other day. I didn't even realize this, but he like was tweeting at me during the show yesterday.
Yes, he was.
Which I never saw and didn't know what he was talking about, and not to be disrespectful to him, but I honestly couldn't quite figure out what he was saying. But like, he was very active on social media about Quentin Dunbar and wanting to not be a Redskin, essentially. I just wish that they would have said, okay, everyone sit down for a second. Let's be calm. Is this guy our best cornerback? And you go around the room and everyone says, yes, it's not even close. And I mean on the outside, obviously. Kendall Fuller could have something to say about that in the slot. Okay, good. Is our number one cornerback way more valuable than a fifth-round pick that will probably turn into nothing? And then you go around the same room and everyone goes, well, yeah. Okay, then we're not making this trade. Like, I need to win trades or I don't make them.
Yeah, or at least
I need to get something great back,
yeah, or at least
I'm not giving up a player that will help me.
Or, Jeeps, at least like when you make a fantasy trade, let's say I've got three tight ends on my roster and I need a running back. It may not be a trade I win, but it helps me because I have a different – I mean, that's how capitalism has worked from the dawn of time, the first bartering of goods. I've got wool, but I don't have soybeans. You have the opposite problem. Let's switch. I may not have won the trade, but at least it helped me. The Redskins need draft picks. They need to rebuild. This didn't help them. They were not helped. They had an asset, and they're not helped. That's the sort of end game here that's so frustrating.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. 800-636-1067. There's a couple camps here. Good riddance. You were annoying. Be gone. That's number one. Or number two, I know he was annoying. But he's pretty good, and you got nothing back for him. Why on earth did you do that? Your thoughts on the Dunbar trade. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny, 106.7, The Fan. On the same day, the Redskins traded a fifth-round pick for a backup quarterback who they don't plan on starting, who mostly checked the ball down a lot last year and basically, you know, a lot of people would say is kind of a Brian Hoyer-ish type future potentially. They get the exact same pick back for trading their best cornerback that they gave up for that backup QB profile. Something is not adding up here, Danny. If you pay the same amount of money for dinner as you did a car, you probably shouldn't have made one of those purchases. You know what I mean?
If an expendable resource, which is what Kyle Allen was, right, who knows where he'd be on the depth chart because they brought in somebody from the XFL, they've got Teddy Bridgewater, et cetera, is worth a five. A starting cornerback that's a number two on a good team, a number one on this particular team, which is terrible at the cornerback position, cannot also be worth a five. Now, I know it's worth what someone pays for it, and that's what someone paid for it. Man, the frustration, I think, from Rivera was evident. This is a steal for Seattle. I mean, what a steal for them. They'll pay Quentin Dunbar, you know, a decent amount, and he'll get along in that system and play the way that they play and thrive. Getting your hands on receivers and having deep help so you can jump and run your routes and come downhill and make plays. He'll be great in that system. And Redskins fans will look at this as, oh, my God, another one got away, et cetera, et cetera. I don't feel that way about it, but this clearly was a case of, I don't care what we get back. Get this idiot away from me. And that's kind of what ended up happening.
800-636-1067, the number. We'll get to the calls in a second. By the way, today is my wife's birthday.
Yes.
Not a great time to have a birthday.
No, it is not.
We can't do anything. We can't go anywhere. I think we'll go for a walk at some point. That'll be like the big present that she gets somehow today. There's no stores open. I guess you could buy something online potentially. But I woke up. I made her a breakfast burrito. That was the big gift this morning.
How was your burrito? How was the quality of it? How do you feel about it?
I feel great. I scrambled some eggs. I put some cheese in them. I made bacon. Then I took some kitchen scissors, and I cut the bacon into small little bits and put that into the burrito. Then I served it with two slices of bacon. I thought overall it was a success story.
Good really for you, because when I try to do it, like, and I haven't made a breakfast burrito for my wife because I know she wouldn't enjoy it, somehow like there's liquid in there that I don't know where it came from, and it turns very sloppy, and it's a mismanaged sort of situation. So it sounds like you knew what you were doing and did a good job.
Whether I knew what I was doing or not, I'm unsure. But it turned out, like, we won 17-16 with a goal line stand, if that makes sense. And they missed two field goals. One
the Dolphins went for two, and you guys won.
Pretty much, that's what happened. The bar was low. I don't think she was expecting much. Tim in College Park's on line two on Grant and Danny. What did last 24 hours for the Skins, including Trent Williams' agent this morning, demanding that his client be traded or released? What's going on, Tim?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
What's up, buddy?
Good.
Yeah, I'm definitely disappointed in the Quentin Dunbar trade. You know, I know Pro Football Focus had him ranked pretty high as a cornerback. But on the other side, I look at it as, like, you could never stay healthy. So if you look at his history with the nerve damage and then only playing, I think, like 9 or 10 games last year, you can probably bet that he's going to miss at least 4 games with the Seahawks. Now, I don't think he deserved to be traded for a 5th-round pick, but if you're trying to have Jonathan Allen or have one voice, you don't want Quentin Dunbar arguing with Kendall Fuller because he got his money and Quentin Dunbar didn't get his money. So I definitely think the organization was just in a position where it was just like, we just got to trade this guy for whatever reason. It's sad that it got to that situation, and I'm disappointed that the Redskins let it get to that point where they just had to trade him for a 5th-round draft pick. But once they signed Kendall Fuller, they knew Quentin Dunbar was going to come back and be happy.
It is strange call, to buddy. Me, thanks for the call, that you had two guys that were mostly mad at the team because of people that aren't here anymore that didn't care about getting to know Rivera and the new regime seemingly at all in Dunbar and Williams. Let's go to line four. Tom's in Manassas on Grant and Danny. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob. Guys. First with Kyle Allen, a slight upside. I think it's going to be a shortened offseason this year, and he already knows the system.
It's part of it, yeah.
I think that could be beneficiary for the team and Haskins. The other nags, I'm fine with the signing. With Quentin Dunbar, I know there's a big hole there, but as Steve Medhurst says, you can't help the club if you're in the tub. The guy is just hurt all the time, and his latest episode has given us insight into his mentality of thinking he had leverage and forcing all this and that. And Rivera's changing the culture, and sometimes this is the byproduct of it. You lose a good player at a position you need him at, but the culture's got to change. This is what happens, and he can't stay healthy. So I'm fine with him going.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. The frustration, I think people are mostly okay with Dunbar being out of here, right? Despite the need it creates at the position that they're already not very good at. The compensation, I think, is what's at its core for most Redskins fans, right?
So trading a malcontent is never going to be not met with optimism or happiness. But when you get nothing back for that guy, there's the problem.
So let me ask you this. How much of this do you put on Dunbar, and how much do you put on the Redskins' maybe lack of patience?
Well, I mean, I think the entire problem was Dunbar's. He hasn't been healthy. He signed a contract. You're not Trent Williams. You don't have the leverage. You're not going to hold out. So I don't know what he was trying to accomplish or do. So I blame him. That having been said, the team shouldn't have traded him. So getting a 5th-round pick back for him because he made the market worse with how he was acting, I don't care about any of that. Don't trade him. They didn't have to trade him. If you have to trade someone, like I actually view the Trent Williams situation now, Danny, as a guy that you have to trade. You can't keep this charade up. You can't do this for a second straight year. They would tell you otherwise, by the way. I don't buy that. But Quentin Dunbar is not on that list. Show up. I'll see you in September. Go play football. That's what I would have told that guy, period.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the whatever his Twitter things were, just constantly talking about how little respect he was getting, and that stuff burned my britches, man. You know what I mean? Like who are you to demand all these various things? And in his response to you that I was just reading a moment ago, and he's talking to other fans, like the respect for the organization has been lost because of how this is all going, as if he's been treated so poorly and terribly. Again, the very organization that gave him a career, he's now talking about all the respect and things that he's lost. I understand he's not paid market rate. There were two signatures on those lines, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I know how we got here. I get wanting more money. We all want more money. There's not a person alive that doesn't wish there was more money every 2 weeks in their paycheck. Just really frustrating to me, his act. So I put a lion's share of the blame on him for sure.
All right, real quick. Colin has been waiting in Clinton, line 5. Colin, I'm squeezing you in. Be fast here, buddy. What do you got?
Yeah, I think it all comes back to coach first. You know, Ron Rivera is trying to be the boss. His daughter is running the social media account. Players do have leverage, you know, via that social media. So, you know, Dunbar, you know, if he needs to get cut, I would be fine if they cut him. I think the situation there, you know, from an analytics point of view, as opposed to, let's say, a culture first point of view, would be like maybe they would get a third round compensatory pick next year. But if he's injured, maybe it's just a fourth. So would you take a fifth this year or maybe a fourth next year? I'm fine with the fifth this year.
I'll take a fourth next year because I just think you get a better football player. Appreciate the phone call. I mean, to me, where's the higher round? Are they winning a championship this year? Then
right,
why do I prioritize this year over next year?
Yeah, patience is a virtue there. This was a get him away from us now, and that's what we got back.
Double Play is next on Grant and Danny. In 1 hour, the Movie Club is back. Every day, another film to watch. Last night, Star Wars: A New Hope. I've got some thoughts, and I want to bounce them off of Danny. Dave Jagler's on the show today at 1 to call himself doing something in his home during his quarantine. You're listening to The Fan.
Guys, Danny Ruya here from my pals at Ted Britt Ford. I'm a Ted Britt guy. That's right. I got two Ted Britt vehicles parked outside right now. The wife's driving the Edge. I got myself the Ford Fusion. Love the experiences I had years ago. I'm going to take you back to 2016. This is pre-quarantine, pre-social distancing. We were just out and about like people tended to be at that time. And we shopped around, looked for a few different cars, trucks, SUVs, tried to figure out what we wanted. We needed something a little bit bigger, right? We had a young child, and we're thinking about having more, having the family grow. So we needed to haul a bunch of stuff around all the time. So we settled on the Edge, went and test drove it to Ted Britt Ford, loved it, and then couldn't believe the buying experience. It was so easy, so simple. It's the best in the D.C. area. I'm telling you, these guys are great at it. It's why they've been in business for 60-plus years. That's right, 1959 to 2020. Whatever that math says, that's how long they've been doing this thing. These guys are awesome. Let them win your business the way they have won my family's. I love Ted Britt Ford. You guys will too. Go see them. They're in Fairfax, Chantilly. Click away at TedBritt.com, and when you go, tell them Danny sent you.
Danny, I'm Grant, and this is The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the show, as always. Much appreciate you being with us on this weird Tuesday. All these days have gotten weird, haven't they? In 1 hour, our Movie Club, Dave Jagler's on the show at 1 o'clock here on G&D. By the way, tomorrow we got to launch our polls again. We haven't been doing polls the last couple days.
Oh, that's right. We got to get the poll up.
Poll a day to keep the doctor away. If you're not doing the polls, what does that mean? That means the doctor's going to come for us. We don't want
that. That's right.
That.
No, pretty much.
It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Danny, old buddy, old pal, what do you got?
Let's do it together, my friend. Danny Ruya, Netflix show review time. Ugly Delicious Season 2. Only 4 episodes. Season 1 was 8 episodes. David Chang, DC Zone, I believe Georgetown Preparatory School graduate. He is wonderful. I love David Chang, and I want David Chang on this radio program. What better time than right now? He is a chef. He is an entrepreneur. He is a guy that's traveled the world. He has cool opinions. He has cool takes. He, to me, and this I don't mean to be flippant about this, but he, to me, is kind of the heir apparent to Anthony Bourdain and that sort of travel-style show. Bourdain was just so wildly interesting and entertaining without trying to be. David Chang has a more... I would say he's a little bit more approachable just in terms of his quips and some of the frustrations. He knows his limitations, doesn't have that same rarefied air above it all that Bourdain had while he was experiencing some of these things. Chang is like, you know, he's getting his hands dirty. He's kind of down in it. as somebody that's still active in the restaurant game, as opposed to Bourdain that had kind of graduated just to travel writer. But anyway, back to the show itself. Ugly Delicious is many different shows kind of in one, right? It's that travel show. It's that getting to know how we do it, a.k.a., you know, sort of the regular citizenry in another country. But it goes into specifically, GP, some of the things that the perceptions that we have kind of in Western culture about certain kinds of food, right? We think of, say, French cuisine as refined and expensive and highfalutin and you know, everything has to be done with a folded-up napkin, and you can't have an entree that's less than $75. But we think of certain other kinds of foods as uncomplicated, delivery, cheap, etc. And kind of the point of the show is to go to some of these places and say, there's nothing uncomplicated about this Mexican food. There's nothing uncomplicated about the thousands of years that have led some of the flavor profiles into this Indian dish or to some Chinese food, some places where he's from in Korea, etc. Just a phenomenal, eye-opening program, really, really cool. He also lampoons various things like these, this like council that determines whether or not something is Neapolitan for a kind of pizza. Like, why does it matter if it's Neapolitan or not? But these people are very, very, you know, with the thumb up there, you know what, just making sure that they absolutely have to have certain criteria. And he's like, Domino's is delicious. Why are we doing all these things that make it super complicated? A pizza shouldn't cost $28. You can get one for 12 bucks. That's phenomenal, right? And this show is really, really good. I will say season two, only 4 episodes, kind of centers around his personal life as well. You got to see to kind of understand what I'm talking about. But this is a really, really entertaining program. If you're looking for something in that Anthony Bourdain, I'd say, kind of level, right, in that speed, and you don't want to watch someone eat ridiculous food like Andrew Zimmer did, where he's like eating snails all the time, Ugly Delicious is for you. Season 2, I would say a 7 out of 10 carbohydrates. Season 1 is an 8.5 out of 10 carbohydrates. Highly recommend, though, Ugly Delicious, starring D.C. area's own David Chang.
I like that. It is time for my double play. So before I get into the actual double play, I'll just tell you, since you did your show review, I did finish Jack Ryan, as I told you.
Yes.
That is in the rearview mirror now. 2 seasons, excellent show, worth watching. We are 3 episodes in, because I actually got Allison to watch a show with me, to The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel or whatever that show's called.
Oh, yes, man.
Here's, I guess, quick question for you without going too deep into this so I have time for this other thing. I don't love her very much. Like, I like her humor and her shtick, and I like what she's trying to do. But she, so far, again, I'm on episode 3. She's not a very good mom. Like, the character itself is not all that likable to me. Like, she's flirting with this guy who's married after she just got cheated on. I'm kind of bothered by her in general. Is that
interesting?
Okay.
I think it's fine to each his own. She's not meant to come across that way. You know what I mean?
Back to when you watched it? She's flirting with the comedian that she just met, who she knows is married, number one. I don't know what's going to happen there, but it looks like the beginning of some love arc. And also, she just, like, leaves her kids at home all the time and is just out and about, like, running the town.
I have no problem with your assessment. But what I'm saying is they don't think you'll think that, right? She's meant to be a very likable character where she's initially wronged by her husband who's stealing material.
Which, in the first episode when that happened, by the way, I felt so terribly for her. She was the victim. The husband was a jerk. And I was like, oh, man, this girl's amazing. And by the way, she was an incredible wife, 100%. I just, as a mom, I don't think that much of her. And now that she's engaging with this guy who's married, I'm thinking, well, you were all sad about your husband. You're doing the exact same thing.
I know. And so, and I guess my point is, you're supposed to like her a lot and root for her. The fact that you don't, I would say, doesn't necessarily bode well for your enjoyment of the program.
Ooh. Well, it's early. It's only three episodes in, so we'll see what happens as we continue. I'm going to save what I was going to get into because, heck, the whole show could be a double play at this point for a little bit later on, maybe sometime next hour. But it's a very creative way to try to make some money for some people who are out of work. So we'll get into that on Grant and Dan. You are listening to The Fan. Next hour, we'll kick off with our Beltway Blitz, and we've got our movie club.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.